Hey, it's Jonathan Blank, and you're listening to Guy Gab. This is the podcast for men and women who believe that men could be better if they acknowledge and share their emotions. Usually, the theme music for Guy Gab comes in right about now, but I'm going to acknowledge and share that this doesn't feel like an episode that should have music to it. This topic is too raw and too unexplored to make this fully produced. I'll admit this episode was really, really hard for me. The topic is anger, specifically how men are so quick to project anger when they're actually feeling something else inside, whether that be fear or sadness. But they've often been taught that boys don't cry or men don't feel fear. So when they feel something negative, they immediately assume they feel and should leverage anger. I hope my story about getting yelled at and the commentary from my esteemed guest will help you learn how to put some space between you and your gut instinct to get angry. I also hope you'll learn how to better handle the anger that is projected at you by others. Guy Gabbers, I want to introduce you to Jacqueline Siegel. Jacqueline is a PhD candidate in social psychology at the University of Western Ontario. Her research focuses on the psychology of gender, particularly how gender norms restrict and restrain people's lives. Sound familiar for all of us that are in the Guy Gab community? I'm so glad that you get to learn from her. I know I did. And I hope this is just the start of us exploring anger. Enjoy the story and the conversation. And finally, for this particular episode, I encourage you to listen to the final 30 seconds. Jacqueline, so thrilled to have you on Guy Gab from Ontario, Canada. I have to ask, are you sitting there with a Tim Hortons coffee?
No, not this morning. Most other mornings, however, I do tend to pick myself up a cup and maybe a Timbit or two.
Well, we don't have one in New York, so you'll have to send me some, or next time I'm in Canada or you're in New York, we'll have to figure out how to break coffee. That's not a phrase, but we just made that one up.
Yes, I would love to. Actually, if you go up closer to the border, you'll see some around the Buffalo area and whatnot, but actually, there's one in Times Square. There is one right in Manhattan.
I didn't know that because I usually don't make it to Times Square. It's not one of my my go-to areas in the city. But all right, now that I know that, I will. I may have to swing by at Tim Hortons. I wanted to ask you about Tim Hortons because I clearly just threw out at you a norm, an assumption about somebody in Canada. And I know your background is in questioning norms and specifically gender norms. Now, we're going to turn our attention to an emotion that is, I don't know if you would describe it this way, maybe the opposite of happiness, anger.
Hmm.
And I want to explore anger with you because I certainly see a lot of men in my life, personally and professionally, often get triggered very quickly and kind of explode in anger based on how they're feeling. And so through our discussion, we'll see maybe why that happens and how we can react in a little bit in a healthier way.
Great. Let's dive in.
So when I was 7 or 8, Jacqueline, one of the people that I looked up to a lot was my grandfather. And I looked up to him because he clearly was so smart and so intellectual. He was literally a rocket scientist. He worked at NASA in Huntsville, Alabama. And he came to St. Louis, my hometown, for the holidays one year. And I picked up on the fact that he was a very confident man, but he was somewhat cold. The way he showed me and my sister and his daughter, my mother and my father, that he cared was through explaining the knowledge that he had and giving us wisdom and education. And I was playing around at the dinner table before dinner on one of these holidays, and he was sitting with me, and I knocked over a toy that then knocked over a glass of milk, and he stood up and he just erupted in anger and yelled at me for horsing around at the dinner table and how a child should not horse around at the dinner table. I put my hands over my ears as a reaction of fear. And as I grew up, I came to understand that other people in other ancestors in my family, they often exhibited similar behavior of getting triggered somewhat quickly and yelling at some people in the family. Again, totally knowing that they meant the very best and were doing it out of a place of care, that they wanted their family members to, that they wanted to keep their family members safe and wanted to teach them as best they could. To this day, Jacqueline, when I hear someone yell, I cover my ears with my hands, and I definitely feel fear inside, even if I know consciously that I'm not in any danger from the person. I also have come to realize that I don't really know, as a 38-year-old man, how to express anger. Maybe it's because of the types of situations I described. I can't really think of a time that I've yelled at someone, and I'm not saying that because I'm trying to suggest I'm some moral saint. I'm saying it because I understand that I react to anxiety differently, and that if we're talking about fight or flight, I'm a flight person. I guess I'm a bird when it comes to anxiety. So, Jacqueline, that's been my experience with anger. And now that all the guy gabbers out there are kind of reflecting on their experience with it, whether they've been yelled at in anger, or maybe they recognize that they have sometimes been triggered pretty quickly to get angry, I'd love to turn to you and ask a couple of questions, starting with, when a man like my grandfather is triggered, or any of us is triggered to feel angry, what's the first thing they should do?
Well, before I answer that, can I make a comment about the story that you just told?
Please do.
Great. Thanks. I just first wanted to say thank you for your vulnerability and willingness to share that story. It's really brave. And I think a lot of men would feel uncomfortable even vocalizing the fact that they did feel afraid. Fear isn't one of those emotions that we traditionally and socially allow men to express in a lot of ways. So that you were actually willing to say that in that moment you felt scared, that's very impressive. And it's not something that I think a lot of men feel comfortable doing. So I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for sharing that with, I mean, not only me, but also with your audience.
Well, I appreciate that, Jacqueline. It's not easy to admit that you're scared. And I definitely thought a lot before recording this conversation with you about this. But I feel it's really important to give some credence to others to step forward, and not on necessarily on a podcast, but to say to someone who is, you know, potentially yelling at them, to say something like, I'm sorry that you're upset. Your tone is making me a little fearful. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about this in a different way? So that's my hope in telling this story and admitting to you, Jacqueline, and others about my relationship to anger.
Sure. But it also sets the precedent for men listening to this to be able to say then to other people, I felt scared in that moment. And bringing it back to the story, if your grandfather at the time had recognized that what his emotions were, be they anxiety, be they anger, he could have potentially acted in a different way that would have then shifted the moment and also shifted your relationship with him and with anger. Because we don't really necessarily have control over the way that we feel, but we do have control over the way that we react to our own emotions. We don't always have to scream and yell when we feel angry. We can do other things instead. And so I think that brings us back to the first question that you had asked, right?
Absolutely. I hear you that acknowledging and trying to understand your emotion at the time is really important. So yeah, the question is, what's the first thing we should do when we feel that anger bubbling up? And it sounds like, please clarify, it sounds like you're saying we should really try to understand what is underneath the anger that's bubbling up, whether that's fear or sadness or something else. Is that a good way of putting it?
That's absolutely right. So we can recognize when we physiologically are starting to bubble up, when we're starting to experience any emotion, really, when we're feeling exuberantly happy or when we're feeling unbelievably sad, we can start to think about why is it that I feel like I am about to be engage in this behavior? Why do I feel like I'm very angry right now? And then with that awareness, with that knowledge, then we can choose how it is that we want to respond to it.
This is helpful. Is there something that you've seen that's come through maybe in your research or just in your daily life of something very practical that we can do to give us that moment to explore our emotions when the anger is coming up? I could just foresee situations where it's a little bit difficult in the heat of the moment to say, oh, you know what? Before I speak, I need to understand whether this is fear or sadness or disappointment or something else.
Absolutely. And I think when you use that phrase, the heat of the moment, that really gets to the heart of it. Because sometimes when we're in these intense situations, the emotions are just building and building and building and snowballing and getting bigger and bigger that we feel that we have no control over them. So a practical way when you're in that moment and can't necessarily stop yourself from, or, you know, it feels too heated to recognize what's going on in your body, you can just remove yourself from it for a moment. Say, I need to step out for a second. Take a breather. Some people will say count to 10. And although it sounds silly, just simply having that space, stopping that momentum for a moment, can really allow you to process the experience rather than simply reacting, right? You can have more say in the way that that experience goes.
I think it's so helpful for all of us to know that we have a choice in that moment. And that choice is whether we immediately react or if, as you described it, we call that timeout and give ourselves a little bit of a breath and potentially say to the other person, I need to walk outside of the room right now for a couple of seconds. I'm feeling a little fearful, or I'm starting to feel a little anger build up, and I don't want that to come out the wrong way. So I'm going to step out for a few seconds and then I'm going to come back.
Absolutely. And we're talking about quite literally crying over spilled milk. But in the event that situations are larger than that, and when it does take a little bit more than a few seconds to regain your composure and to gather your thoughts, taking a walk can help. Sleeping on it, even in the event that it's something that you really feel that you don't have any sort of control over in an immediate sense, it's okay. Take time, because at the end of the day, it's going to be more important to you potentially to retain that relationship than it is to have your point heard immediately. If it's an important relationship for you, then that person will wait. It will be okay.
Let's turn to how we should react to the anger that is expressed towards us. So we just talked about how we should explore our own anger that starts to build up. Do you have any suggestions for how, and maybe it's the same one that we just talked about of like calling a little bit of a timeout, sleeping on it, walking away. Is there ways that you think we should deal with the situations when anger is projected at us?
Yeah. And I think that we talked about this a little bit the other day, where it does really depend on your perceived safety in that situation. You're going to respond quite differently if you're afraid of being hit, or perhaps even worse. I mean, you're in the States, I'm in Canada, we don't have guns here. But if you are experiencing anger projected at you in an extremely volatile and unsafe way, remove yourself, get out of there. Because in those situations, when you're dealing with someone who is unable to control their emotions and unable to control their behaviors, there is nothing that you can necessarily do in that moment to make the situation better. Sometimes that person just needs to deal with that on their own. But in the event that it is something more minor, I'm just going to think on that for a moment.
Sure. And I just want, for the record, I want you to know, Jacqueline, that the only gun I have is a Nerf gun.
I've got a water gun here, so.
All right. So perfect. We, with our powers combined.
So in the event that you are dealing with something that is a bit smaller, smaller scale at least, sometimes, yeah, you see, I'm struggling here because it really does depend on the context and it depends on the other person. There are situations where you may be able to have a rational conversation with that person about recognizing emotions and saying, hey, maybe, you know, I see you're getting worked up. Maybe it would be best if we took this conversation in a different direction. So diverting the conversation and maybe getting back to the particular point later. But in the event that a person really is just sort of spiraling and, you know, getting to the point where they're erupting in anger, immediately confronting them is probably not the best way to go about it. Because even if you are calm in that situation, which is somewhat unlikely because when we react with fear, we're not always thinking the most clearly. Even if you are in a situation where you are capable of responding in a clear-headed manner to that person, they may not receive that well if they are in such a heightened state. So removing yourself is an option. It's important to think about, in our conversations and in our communication with other people, acting and not reacting. Because when we react to the way that we're feeling, we can sometimes make the situation worse.
Yes. And I think we've unintentionally kind of pointed something out. You mentioned you were struggling with some of the words to explain your perspective. And I think that points out that we should be okay to struggle with our emotions and our words for a couple seconds, for a couple minutes, a couple hours, a couple of days. So Jacqueline, I'm going to tell you now that I'm not going to edit that out, because I think it's such a great point that I think we, or at least what I'm taking away, is I should feel comfortable in a moment to not react, as you said, and to be able to say to someone, I'm kind of struggling with how I feel about this situation or about how we're discussing it. Let's have this discussion tomorrow once I feel a little bit more grounded in how I feel and how we can communicate effectively.
I appreciate you telling me that, because I probably would have been embarrassed if you had done it without telling me. And even as it was happening, I will admit that I certainly was having a bit of imposter syndrome, because obviously I'm coming on here as, you know, the PhD candidate, someone who has a background in this. I do sometimes feel like I should be able to speak clearly on these things. I shouldn't have to hesitate, but you're right. We shouldn't be expected to always be perfect all the time, always know exactly how we want to react, how we want to respond. So thank you for telling me. Fine by me. Yeah. Okay.
If it makes you feel better, you're the PhD candidate discussing gender norms. I'm the host of a podcast, and I will readily admit that the jokes at the beginning of our conversation were not very good. And that's entirely on me. And that's partially my job, is to entertain on this podcast.
Life is hard. It's hard to communicate effectively.
It is. I'm struggling with my jokes. This is hard.
Well, back to anger. You did say something earlier that I wanted to expand upon a little bit, which was taking some time to sleep on it, take some time to step away. Something that is useful to do with that time is not only think about how it is that you would like the conversation to go and how it is that you want to communicate what it is that you need to say to the other person, but you can actually write it out. You can write out exactly what an ideal scenario would be. You could imagine it, see it play out in different ways. And just taking that time to see what the potential outcomes of the different ways that we react might be, I think it can really be enlightening.
Love it. And I am going to take that tip immediately after recording this podcast. I can foresee a conversation happening later today at my work where the person who I'm talking to might be upset and angry with me. Mm. And so I'm going to proactively write down how I'm feeling about the situation and try to explore that a little bit so that when we're in the moment, in the heat of the moment, I'm able to, as you say, act and not react.
That's great. Let me know how it goes. It's certainly something that I have used in my own life. I mean, we're talking about masculinity. I myself don't identify as a man, but anger is something with which I have struggled myself. And I found it to be a very useful strategy, particularly as someone who has difficulty expressing anger. It's a way that I can allow myself to let the other person know that they have upset me in some way, or if I'm anticipating that the other person is upset with me, it's a way for me to just sort of take time and let that anger, my own or the other person's, breathe in my body and in my experiences, and just give it space and honor it and not be so afraid of it.
That's wonderful. And in the same vein as your compliment to me, I thank you for opening up to our audience on Guy Gab, to all of our Guy Gabbers, that you also struggle with anger. And I want to say on behalf of all of us that you're not alone. As you've heard from me, I've struggled with it my entire life. It has left an indelible mark. I readily admit that. And I'm hopeful that we can have these types of conversations together, human to human, to come up with better actions, not reactions, but actions to feeling anger and to expressing it. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Let's end on one topic that we haven't hit yet, which is the anger that you can feel towards yourself. I recognize that there are many times when I get angry at myself because I feel like I have faltered when it comes to the values and bars that are set for men. And maybe in the heat of the moment, I don't recognize that it's related to gender, my anger, my frustration with myself. But upon reflection, I do, you know, whether that's not being or not getting a promotion at work, or maybe not being able to have the exact personal relationship that I'm looking for. So is there anything else that, is there any nuance that you would give to how we should understand and express when we're feeling angry with ourselves?
Ooh, threw me a curveball here. So
I'm keeping you on your toes.
You are. You're definitely keeping me on my toes. I do, you know, anger geared toward ourselves and directed toward ourselves is a very complicated issue. And I think that it's something that a lot of us struggle with. I think that just obviously, because we're speaking to an audience of men, and because you know that I love to talk about this, I will specifically bring up how it is that manhood is constructed socially and how it is that it is so precarious for men. I think men are told their whole lives that masculinity is hard won and easily lost. Men feel a lot of pressure to adhere to masculine norms. And when it is that they feel as though they're failing, they are not performing masculinity in the way that they have been taught is necessary to, quote unquote, be a man, it's very hard. And we may feel sad, we may feel frustrated with ourselves, we may feel angry, we may feel like a failure. And it's hard to recognize that, though. It's hard to recognize when our anger, it's hard to recognize the source of our anger, really, why it is that we're experiencing the emotions that we are. So how it is that we can deal with that is, I think, quite similar to the way that we can deal with anger that is directed toward us, and the way that we can handle anger that we feel toward other people, which is allowing ourselves to sit with it for a little bit. And it is very uncomfortable to sit with anger. I will be the first to tell you, anger is often something that we just want to get out and then not think about again. But if we allow ourselves to think about what some of the causes are and how it is that this experience of anger with ourselves even can really negatively impact us, then the price of sitting with that anger, it's a small price to pay, really. So when it is that we recognize that we're feeling angry, we can try to get to the source of it through a number of different ways. We can talk about it in therapy. I understand that going to therapy is certainly something that's stigmatized for men, but I mean, I'll admit to your Guy Gab audience, I've been in therapy since I was in vivo. I don't know, since I was in utero. That's the word I'm looking for. I've been in therapy since I was in utero.
Is there therapists that that specialize in talking to babies that are in utero?
Oh my God, I have no idea. I was kidding. I'm kidding.
I know.
Therapy has been absolutely critical to my understanding of my own emotions. And it can certainly help people get more in touch with themselves. So that's one option, speaking to a therapist. Another option is, again, writing, journaling, speaking to friends and loved ones about the way that you're feeling, but also self-compassion practices, meditation, yoga. Some people engage in exercise to sort of blow off steam a little bit, but even doing things to get rid of it don't necessarily allow us to get to the heart of it and to really digest it and sit with it a little bit. So yeah, I think giving ourselves the space to think a little bit more critically about why it is that we're feeling the way that we're feeling, rather than doing what we believe, or rather than simply doing the easiest possible thing to get rid of it, allowing ourselves to sit with it actually gives us the opportunity to recognize its source and to react in the way that we want to, not in the way that we have been taught that we should.
Jacqueline, I appreciate that so much. I've also been in therapy since what's the word, in utero? In vivo. What is it?
In utero.
All right, in utero. I'm learning. I'm not a PhD like you, so I sometimes don't have all of the words. But I have also been in therapy for quite a while, and it has been so helpful. Actually, this podcast came out of a conversation with my therapist. So I can totally attest to the value of therapy in exploring and being able to create some space between you and tough emotions like anger. I want to go to what you mentioned about sitting with it. Isn't it amazing how hard it is to just sit when you have really uncomfortable feelings?
Absolutely. And I think something that you mentioned right up at the front end of this podcast was this fight or flight reaction that we have. And either way, whether you're fighting or flighting, you're getting rid of your emotion, right? Rather, did I say flighting? Rather, whether you're fighting or fleeing is what I meant to say. From that emotion, you're not sitting with it. We, as humans, we have this innate desire to simply get rid of dissonance and not to feel these negative emotions. We just want to feel happy all the time. We want to maintain our equilibrium in that way. But if we don't address it and we don't think about it, nothing changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely understand. So we end Guy Gab episodes by making a commitment. And so I'm just going to make a commitment here to all of our Guy Gabbers, both men listening and the women listening who believe that they can communicate better with the men in their lives. I'm going to make a commitment to the first thing I will do when I start to feel this anger bubbling up. And maybe Jacqueline, maybe that's not a sound of your email. Maybe that's the sound of discomfort coming up.
No, it's definitely the sound of my email.
Oh, okay. All right. But how cool would that be if we had like a little ding that like went off when we're like, oh, that ding is telling me that I'm feeling uncomfortable and angry and potentially angry and I need to sit instead of reacting.
That would be wonderful if we just had a little timeout button even that we could press that, you know, maybe popped up every time that we started feeling an intense emotion. That would be great. Unfortunately, that sort of magic doesn't really happen, but we do have the capacity to create that magic for ourselves.
Well, you said at the outset that a definition, a positive definition of masculinity is being real, is able to imagine what you want, who you can be. So I think we can imagine that we could invent this.
I love it.
All right. So I'm making a commitment to when I start to feel what feels like it is the seeds of anger, I'm going to immediately sit. I'm going to physically sit down for at least 30 seconds. And then I will try to explore it in many of the ways we've discussed. So Jacqueline, I want to thank you so much for coming on Guy Gab today. And I hope we get to do this again.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and with your listeners. It really means a lot.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the end. I got very angry at myself after recording this episode. I felt I didn't do this important topic justice. I also was angry at myself because I felt I could have asked Jacqueline some better questions. But then I took a breath. I realized I'm not angry at myself. I'm disappointed. By acknowledging that I was disappointed, I could show myself some compassion and recognize that one, it's hard to simultaneously tell a story and interview on a podcast. And two, and as importantly, it's hard to discuss really personal issues publicly. So I hope next time you feel angry, you stop, take a breath, explore the emotion underneath, and have a thoughtful and calm conversation with yourself or the other person. This certainly won't be the last time we discuss anger on Guy Gab. If this episode helped in any way, I hope you'll review the podcast on whatever player you're listening to it on. Until next time, keep acknowledging and sharing.